Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning. And so thank you for the opportunity to dive into God's Word again with you today. We're in part five of the series that we've called Spiritual Formation, The Habits of a Healthy Heart. And the main idea is that what we do flows out of who we are. Right? In other words, if we love Jesus, we're going to shape our lives around that, and we're going to develop habits that in our lives that reflect that. And it's not because we want to earn extra points with God, but because of everything he's done for us, our response is to love him and to obey him and to choose to line our lives up with what he says is the best possible way to live our lives. And if we really believe that God's way is truly the best way to live, we'd want to cultivate that. We want to cultivate living in ways that he says is best. And so the verse that we're basing this series on is Proverbs 4:23. And it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And last week, we mentioned that this idea wasn't just an outgrowth of who we are, but it's also formative. It also develops us. Right? The habits of a healthy heart that we're talking about develop us and shape us into who we become. And so one habit we talked about last week was this habit of solitude, this habit of getting alone with God and taking that time regularly. And so this week, we're going to take a look at another habit of a healthy heart. That's church involvement, getting involved in the church and service. And a lot of times when we think about church involvement and service, our minds kind of, we tend to separate those ideas, right? We think church involvement is what we do when we come here on Sunday morning, and we sit and we listen and we pray and we sing. And service is kind of what we do for others outside those walls, right? It might be. It could be. Service might be something we do outside of our church family. But in a lot of ways, church involvement and service kind of go hand in hand. So if you go to Kroger today, maybe you ask a couple people, what do you think about church? You'd probably get a ton of different responses. I mean, some people might think of the Catholic Church, right? Going to Mass, going to confession or something like that, because so many people in this area have grown up in the Catholic Church. Some people might think it's like an old building, right, when they think of church. Or maybe when you ask people what they think about church, they might say it's full of hypocrites. I've heard that one a lot before. People might say that church is about preachers yelling at you and they're always talking about hell, right? Here's the thing. When we talk about being involved in the church body, we aren't just talking about coming to church on Sunday mornings and singing the songs and praying the prayers and listening to an awesome guy talk to you about Jesus. Nah, I see. Although that's part of it. Right? The church is people. So when we talk about involvement in the church body and serving, what we're really talking about is developing the habit of being involved with people. So last week I asked about those of us who are introverts. And those of us who are extroverts, where are my extroverts at? Yeah, all right, yeah. So while us introverts, we love that discipline of solitude, and extroverts kind of struggle with it, the opposite's going to be true today. The opposite of true is true with this discipline that we're talking about. Involvement in the church is living life together with Christian brothers and sisters as the church. One of the first things that we read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good. And this is because even God exists as the Trinitarian community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're made in his image, and we're made in his likeness. And so we are made for a loving community. God intends us to be together as his people. How many of you grew up in the church? Or this one, maybe, or maybe another one. Okay, a lot of you. Remember, maybe you went to Sunday school class and you did, you're like 4 years old, and the Sunday school teacher would say, you know, this is the church, this is the steeple. open the doors and hear all the people, right? Right? And you do that little finger thing, the finger puppet thing, and that was fun. And you were like 4 years old, and you're like, oh, that's so creative. Right? And finally, you figure it out, and you go home, and you show your Uncle Bernie, and, you know, he grabs your nose, and you say, hey, I got your nose. And how many of you have uncles that did that, okay? I always thought that was kind of odd, you know? It's not very lifelike, a nose with a fingernail, right? In that small example, though, that little kind of hand gesture that we were all taught as young kids, that's the message of the church, right? The church is people. All across the world, there are millions of people meeting in different types of buildings, worshiping the same God that we are. And this part is huge, right? God didn't just design us to be involved with one another, but he designed us to be dependent on one another. And that word, we kind of have a hard time with that word, dependency. It's not a bad thing, right? When you and I were born, we were dependent upon our parents to feed us and nurse us and clothe us and care for us. And then we grew up and we learned how to walk. Maybe when you were a toddler, you know, you learned how to walk, and maybe your parents put a bucket on your head and videotaped you as you walked into walls. Maybe I just did that to my kids. But you were a little more independent that you could walk. And then you became a teenager and you wanted complete independence. You were like, leave me alone, right? You go into your room, you find something to distract you, you turn on music, and you just want to be an individual. I think some of that attitude, though, has carried over into our adulthood. But if we're really honest with ourselves, I think we realize that we actually want to be connected with other people. We do. We're dependent on other people for physical needs. So why would we think that it's weird to be dependent on one another for spiritual needs? And that's one way God has designed the church, is that we would be dependent on one another. That's the church. That's what involvement means. So how do we respond to this? And I think ultimately we have two choices. We can either choose the world's way, or we can choose God's way when it comes to connecting with the church body. And as I was kind of thinking through this, I was thinking about how to share this with you, and I thought of it this way. On one side, you have the world's message. On the other side, you have God's message. And then you have how the church responds to God's message. So one way the world responds to this, the world's message is, the world says, I'm all I need. Right? A lot of people say that. I don't need to go to church. I'm all I need. If you've ever had a chance to talk with someone about church, you've probably heard this response before. The truth is, we're not all we need. We weren't created to live alone. God designed us to have a relationship with him and a relationship with others. So God's message is that you are an orphan without Christ. God's message is that you are an orphan without Christ. How many of you, when you were a little kid, you ever got lost? Maybe in like a mall or a supermarket or something. And you're walking around, okay? You're walking around and you grab a leg of what you think is your mom, and you look up and it's not your mom, right? Then you get that feeling of panic. So when I was a kid, my mom used to take me to this store. I grew up in Southern California, so she used to take me to the store called House of Fabrics. I renamed that store the House of Satan. Because as a little kid, like, there's nothing to do there, right? And my mom would take me there for what felt like days. And I never really understood why she took me there. I never saw her make any clothes or anything. Like, what are we doing there? But it felt like we lived there. So she would go through these fabric books and feel the fabric. And there's just nothing to do there as a kid. And I remember inventing these games when I was there. So I'd take my hands and I'd run them through boxes of buttons. And like, let them fall through my hands back into the box. And then I got a little more creative. You know, I'd grab the buttons and I'd start throwing them across the store and watch the people start, the employees have to pick them up. Then I would start getting the buttons and like flick them at other like customers, you know, see what happened with that. When I got really bored, I'd start taking the fabric and running it around some of the fabric stands and creating these teepees, you know, and I go crawl in one of them. Maybe you've done that at a clothing store, you get into that, you know, into the middle of that section. This one time I remember I did it. I created this teepee out of fabric and I crawled in, and one day my mom left. I mean, I don't know if we'd been there for too long and she forgot that she was a parent or something. I don't know what the story was, but I'm lost. And I just remember running up and down the store looking for my mom, thinking, I'm lost. I'm an orphan, right? I'm going to be shipped to Russia, and I'm going to grow up in an orphanage. I have no family. I have no parents. But then I heard my mom's voice. I heard my mom's voice, right? And I start running to her. It's that sense of being found, right? That feeling. That's the church. That's the church. When you're not with other people and you're doing life alone, you're lost. You're an orphan. But when you become a Christian, you're no longer an orphan. God calls you into his family. And if you know what that's like, if you know what life is like, living that life, and then God's placed you into his family, why would you ever want to live that life again? So the world's message is, I'm all I need. God's message says, you're an orphan without Christ. So our response to that, the church's response, is to gather. To gather. When orphans are connected to a parent, they're part of a family. And so this is where God's family gathers together. The second message that the world has for us when it comes to connecting with God's people is that I plan my life. I plan my life. God's message is, you don't plan your life. God gives you direction. And so the church's response when we get together is that we seek his will. We seek God's will. So as we gather together, that's what we look to. A third message the world has for us when we talk about connecting with the church is I'm in control. I'm in control. But God's message is, you're not in control, right? God is in control. And so a response to that we have is to worship. To worship. And that's what worship is. We focus on how awesome God is. And the last one, the world's message is that I can use people for my own benefit. I can use people for my own benefit. I mean, we use people all the time, right? People use us. We use people. And it's kind of the cycle of this world. God's message is that God invites people to partner with him for his kingdom. I mean, the world has taken God's intention from one another and has twisted this so bad. And while God has the power to do this on his own, to establish his own kingdom, right, his intent is to invite people in and to partner with him in the establishment of his kingdom. God doesn't need us, but he wants us to impact his kingdom. Right, of the 10 billion people on the planet right now that could be doing what I'm doing right now, God's using me to do that right now. Right? He doesn't need me. And I'm probably not even the best person for him to use right now. But he wants to. He wants to. So the church's response to this is to rely on one another. We can't do life alone. In this series, we've been talking a lot about commitments. As we're talking about church involvement, I want to challenge you this morning with three commitments. Three commitments. My hope and my prayer for us this morning is that we can commit to these three things. And if we can do that, I think we'll see a huge difference in how we connect with God and how we connect with one another. So the first challenge of commitment is this. First, commit to connect with God's people. Commit to connect with God's people. God's plan for us is that we should be connected. How do we know that? Let's look at his word. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. John 10:10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then in Romans 8:15 and 16, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Look at the relationship in those three verses that we just looked at. You have the vine and the branch. You have the shepherd and the sheep. You have the father and the child. I could probably do a whole sermon series on those connections alone, and so I don't have a bunch of time to dig deep into those things. But here's what I'll say about that. Those are not peripheral relationships. Right? Those are connection. Those are connected relationships. God's plan for his church is that we would be connected. So you're not just committing to attend. You're committing to connect. That's what the church is, life on life. So the second challenge of commitment this morning is to commit to grow spiritually through the church. Commit to grow spiritually through the church. So the challenge really here is to try not to confuse church attendance with spiritual growth. Right? Just because you walk in and you sit in a chair, that does not automatically mean that you're growing spiritually. Attendance can kind of be a misnomer like that. Right? Just because you say, well, I come to church all the time. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything except you come to church all the time. Right? If I spend a lot of time at Starbucks, it doesn't make me a grande mocha. It certainly doesn't make me a barista. Right? Just attendance at church gatherings without your heart in it can give us that same misconception. When I talk to people about this, one of the most common responses I get from people is that they don't want to commit to that level of fellowship or connection and to that level of involvement is because they're afraid. They're afraid that if they put their heart on the line and connect with people, that people are going to let them down. They're going to get hurt. I'm not going to lie to you. That's a possibility. I mean, people are going to let us down or hurt us sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. But the myth here is that Christianity is just about you and Jesus. That you can be a Christian in isolation. And what we need to realize is that sin is what separates us from God, but it's also what separates us from one another. And it's Jesus who takes away that sin so we can have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. So one of the primary purposes of the Christian faith is reconciliation, not just to God, but to others, to each other, through Jesus. And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to answer the question, what are we saved from? Right? We like to answer that question. But one question we don't answer, at least not enough, is what are we saved for? What are we saved for? We've been saved into this community of the church. And one of the things that helps remind us of this is that on that final day when we rise from our graves, when we're together with Jesus, we rise together. Right? We're going to see people we recognize. And we're going to spend eternity as a family with our spiritual brothers and sisters and our Father God. So I mentioned this earlier, but you're not committing just to attend. You're committing to spiritual growth through the church, and you're committing to connect. So is your heart in it? Are you here to rely on others, to seek God's will together, to worship Him together, to gather as a family, and to serve together? Lastly, our third challenge is to commit to find your role in the church body. To commit to find your role in the church body. If you're involved in this church, you have a role. You and I just play just a small part of the picture. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 with me. Paul says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Here's another passage. You've probably heard this one before. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20 says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." So the ear doesn't say to the eye, "Well, you should be an ear." Right? The ear has a part. The eye has a part. The nose has a part. All the parts fit together and function as a body together. You have a part. You have a role. If you don't have a role in the church, you're kind of like that missing piece of a puzzle. Right? If you've ever done a puzzle before, you know how easy it is to lose a piece, right? And after opening and doing the puzzle once, maybe, you know, that one piece didn't make it back in the box when you put it back away. So you take the puzzle out, you want to do it again, and you find out there's a piece missing. Right? When you put it all together and you find out the piece is missing, you don't say, "Oh, what a great looking picture." Right? Where's your attention go? Oh, where's that piece? Where did that go, right? That's all gated. If you're not involved in the church, and you're a Christian, but you're not connected, you're like that missing puzzle piece. Because God has a role for you. He has a role for you in the church. So how do you get involved? Well, attending and connecting and serving. That's how I'd say you get involved. Attend, but don't just attend. Connect, but don't just connect with others. Serve, have a role. So are you attending? Well, yeah, you're here, right? Are you connected? I don't know. I know some of you are. Are you serving? Do you have a role? Whatever it is, it might be a big role. It might be behind the scenes, right? Every role doesn't have to be here on the stage. As a matter of fact, I think most of the most important roles that are really helping people aren't necessarily on the stage. But where do you give your time? Where has God gifted you to serve here in our church, in this body of believers? There's so many different roles. So the missing piece is you if you're not attending and not connecting and not serving. So as we close, I want to leave you with some questions to think about. The first one is, will I consume or will I contribute? Will I consume or will I contribute? Will I just take things in or am I going to contribute with my life? It's a good question to think about. Another one, am I a getter or am I a giver? Am I just about getting stuff? Do I want to just consume and get? Or do I want to give with my life? And maybe a third good question for you to think about this week is, do I expect others to serve me or do I look to serve others? I think those are some great questions to think about as we take a look at our lives this week. And I hope you'll wrestle with them this week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your love. Thank you that you call us to serve because you want us to be part of your body. And it's not about us scoring points with you. God, you did that. You did that for us. There's nothing that we could do to earn that. Help us to see that we all play a role. Help us to see that this body is incomplete without each and every one that you have planned to serve together and to be together. God, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.